So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 18, verse 16 and 17. They put here. Verse 16 has no purport, and then it's prose. I read. This is text verse 16. Ativa sulalita gati vilasa vilasita ruchira asa lesa valoka lilaya kinshid utambita sundara brumandala subhaga vadana ravinda sriya ramam ramayan indriyani rama ramayate. Again, we take word by word also. You can repeat. Ativa. Very much. Sulalita. Beautiful. Gati. With movements. Vilasa. By pastimes. Vilasita. Manifested. Ruchira. Pleasing. Hasalesha. Mild smiling. Avalokalilaya. By playful glancing. Kinchit utambita. Slightly raised. Sundara. Beautiful. Brumandala. By the eyebrows. Subhaga. Auspicious. Vadana Aravindaya Sriya. With his beautiful lotus-like face. Ramam, the goddess of fortune. Ramayan, pleasing. Indriyani, all the senses. Ramayate, he pleases. Translation. In ketu mala varsha, Lord Kamadev, Pradyumna, moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful. When he increases the beauty of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune. Thus he enjoys his transcendental senses. I will read the next text also. There is text that was 16, 17. No. Tad Bhagavato Maya Mayam Rupam Parama Samadhi Yogena Rama Devi Samvatsarasya Ratrishu Pradyapate Duitribir Upetaha Asu Shatad Bhartribir upasate idam shodha hara ti. Accompanied during the daytime by the sons of the Pradyapati, the predominic deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the nights, Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara in his most merciful form as Kamadev. Fully absorbed in devotional service, she chants the following mantras, which comes tomorrow. Prayers. His purport. The word maya mayam used in this verse should not be understood according to the interpretations of the Mayavadis. Maya means affection as well as illusion. When a mother deals with a child affectionately, she is called Maya Maya. In whatever forms the Supreme Lord appears, he is always affectionate toward his devotees. Thus the word Maya Mayam is used here to mean very affectionate toward the devotees. Srila Deva Goswami writes in this regard that Maya Mayam can also mean Kripa Kripa Prachuram, deeply merciful. Similarly, Srila Viraragava says Maya Prachuranat Miya Sankalpena Parigrihitam Ityarta Jnana Prayayotra Maya Sabda. When one is very affectionate due to an intimate relationship, one is described as Maya Maya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Maya Mayam by dividing it into the words Maya and Amayam. Amayam. He explains these words to indicate that because a living entity is covered by the disease of illusion, the Lord is always eager to deliver his devotees from the clutches of Maya and cure him of the disease caused by the illusory energy. Purport ends there. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Omaganati Mirandasya Ganaganasla Kya Sakshurun Militam Yanatas Mahishi Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pustayabhatare Simati Bhakta Viranta Samta Namana Namaste Sarasvatare Ve Guruvani Prachana Nirvise Sasinivari Paskatyara Sita. Okay, so we're getting a description of our universe, the Varshas, and this is Ketamala Varsha. So the first verse says, in Ketamala Varsha, Lord Kamadev Pradyumna moves very graciously. His mild smile is very beautiful, and when he increases the beauty of his face by slightly raising his eyebrows and glancing playfully, he pleases the goddess of fortune, thus endures his transcendental senses. So, is Lord Kamadev Pradyumna Pradyumna in the Shatavyuha represents also intelligence. It's stated that the intelligence is born out of passion. Lord Brahma is passionately, he's also intelligent, the supremely intelligent, but also there's a certain, to be creative you need a certain passion. He moves very graciously, and his mild smile is very beautiful. So this mild smile is interesting. Nectar devotion I read was six different kind of smiles described, and it starts with a smita smile, so that I kind of notice. So the smita smile is just maybe it is what Pradyumna or Kamadev is smiling here. It's a mild smile. You don't show your teeth, you just smile a little bit. You're satisfied a little bit. And the first time I came across it in the Bhagavatam, of course, I'm looking for this. When I come across Smita, then it's interesting for me as a natural attraction. Maybe
Krishna's mercy have some attraction for some special aspect of the Lord and his appearance. Okay, so the first was in the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, third. Kapila Dev, he smiles a smita smile when his mother his mother comes to him and worry, whatever, humbly and knowingly, we could say knowingly, in one sense, to in order to put a good question, have to have some knowledge. what is to be asked and not to ask. So she doesn't ask her son about material things, but she asks him to enlighten her in spiritual life. And she goes on, and then Kapila Dev is satisfied within his heart that his mother comes and asks in this way, and then he smiles the smita smile. Of course, I thought maybe Prabhupada was, when he gave me with the name, that's my speculation, okay, but he thought it was a nice letter. It was a smita smile, I guess. Hare Krishna. So then there is smiling, and then you smile a little bit more, and then you smile, and there's some wrinkles in the eyes, and then you show a little bit the teeth, and you show the teeth a little bit more. And then it ends up, we'll get to the point that it goes from smile to laughter. So there is also in the Sanskrit, in the Vedic literature, there's for the same thing, there's so many different words describing the same phenomena, different aspects of the same, different levels. So that's when someone smiles, in general, they look beautiful. if you like morose and whatever, unhappy or whatever, you don't look so beautiful. And of course, it can also be that you're crying, and maybe there can be a certain kind of tears and crying that has a certain beauty also. But if adults start to cry like a kid, it doesn't really attract you. Of course, maybe it doesn't attract when a child is crying wildly either. Okay, but when you smile, of course, then there's if there's an honest smile, then you can have the politicians. They may also be good at smiling to a certain degree, but they don't smile a smita smile. Otherwise, it's sad. But many times you can see that they're smiling without showing their teeth. But I think that's a different kind of smile than the smita smile, because I read in one book of this era, reading signs in the face or whatever. If someone smiles like a politician or businessman without showing the teeth, you should watch out. They're trying to be like, yes, very nice, I make no profit on you, or something like that. But that is not a genuine smile. But Krishna's smile, that is a genuine, it enters the heart, so to say. And then he okay, so smiling, then he increases the beauty of his face just by what is slightly rising his eyebrows. And maybe he glances a little bit, and then he attracts in different ways, but he attracts the goddess of fortune. He pleases the goddess of fortune, and pleases the goddess of fortune and attracts all conditioned souls by his smiling, by his beauty. Well, he said he also he's glancing playfully, so that there's different way of there's a different ways of, we can say this indicates different ways of communicating affection, and then we can take that in the next verse. Then. Okay, there. It just the second verse says, accompanied during the daytime with the sons of Pradyapati, the sons of the Pradyapati, the predominating deities of the days, and accompanied at night by his daughters, the deities of the night. Then Lakshmi Devi worships the Lord during the period known as the Samvatsara, in his most beautiful form as Kamadev. So that we've got a little bit of a description of Kamadev in the previous verse. And there, yes, so she, well, it's her husband. And he's most attractive, and she's worshipping. Yeah. And then fully absorbed in devotional service, in devotion, she chants the following mantras. So that will come. Now there is this, then there is a purport. And there's a discussion about this word maha, maya, mayam. And let's see what it was supposed to be here. Let's see. No, I don't find it here. Maya, mayam. Okay, there. Okay, maya, mayam. Okay, it's translating the word to word, maya, mayam. Full in the translation there is full of affection for the devotees. Full of affection for the devotees. Okay, it starts with tat, that Bhagavata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Maya Mayam, full of affection for his devotees. So we can say she's worshipping that Lord who is, she's affectionately smiling, whatever, glancing and like that, but he's full of affection for his devotees. And that's maybe what we are looking for, affection. Now, the translation, then the purport there is about this word, maya, mayam, full of affection for the devotees, or of affection, then the Mayavadis has some kind of impersonal explanation that doesn't fit. So say, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's all Maya. And say, yes, it's all Maya. We can say it's all affection. And we can say, in this world is full of Maya, and the spiritual world is full of Maya. With this, it's full of affection, but it's just there's different qualities to that affection. I thought that was the affection of the material world. We can say is an illusion. When one psychologist he called it the illusion of love. We're looking for this world, and we maybe think we find it, but many times, at least many times, most of the times, it's an illusion. It's hard. Then, so that's the material world, but still we can say it's the principle that makes the world go around is affection, or the attraction. The attraction between man and woman, okay, it's just gross, monstrous attraction, rape or something, that's affection. We don't count there, but other one, the refined, where there is an affectionate relationship between husband and wife and children and like that. We can say it's a little bit more refined. There's an affection, but it's still an illusion. It's based on a bodily concept of life. And of course, then we have in the Bhagavatam first canto, Kunti Devi's prayers, where she prays, please cut, ties of affection. Yes, please cut my ties of affection to my families. And then one, because then we take it one way, take my ties of affection to the material family so I can be fully affectionate to you. But there was also some other, I had one explanation that because she was related to two families. By the family by birth and by family by marriage. It's that some other She had a difficulty because she wanted both to be blessed by the presence of Lord Krishna, but she was in a dilemma there because it couldn't be both at the same time. So once she asked that the ties of affection be cut. Okay, so that we say we can, she could focus on Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. So that we could also pray, please, please cut our ties of affection in this world. But then we may end up, and that's maybe a danger in our Hare Krishna movement, that we become impersonalistic in a way. Oh, no affection, no relationships. it's all Maya. Yes, it's all Maya. But then it's there in the first canto, it might be Kunti Devi, or in that connection it says, interaction by attachment, counteraction by detachment. So if you choose to interact with this world, if you choose to be a husband, wife, there will have to be some kind of relationship, and better an affectionate relationship than a hateful or indifferent relationship that, in case that whatever screws up the kids and everything. if you're going to be in this world and be in a relationship, then there needs to be some attachment. We can say some affection. Of course, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu spoke about one about it. He said attachment. I thought, well, maybe affection. Affection sounds better. But he meant that if you're married, there has to be attachment. And maybe it's true. There's affection. We can say affection will be... attachment will be... if there is an affectionate relationship, there will be attachment. So, I don't know. I don't have too much experience in this life. But how it works exactly, but I understand that it's not easy if you live in a relationship with this world. All kind of things can go wrong, and misunderstandings and everything. But then, if there's a true attachment, a true relationship, or is a loyalty or affection, then even if there is some difficulties coming in between, still, the relationship will go on. A little bit like Krishna wanted to see Rukmini angry. Oh yes, he wanted to see her angry, and then he spoke and he saying, you better go and find another husband, you know, I'm such a useless, and whatever, you made a kidnap you and everything. So he wanted to see her angry, but didn't happen. She fainted, and then she came back to life, but then she kind of, her intelligence worked. In one sense, she turned around and proved it, that, you know, actually is the most worthy husband, and you know, everything was okay. Okay, well, there's the other, is it Satyabhama? I think Satyabhama, she is someone who creates friction, and is, so that goes on. But that is maybe you can say part of love. If that's an affectionate relationship, then maybe it's some friction also. But because there's a true love or affection relationship, it will not break, but rather hopefully at the end enhance the relationship. That would be the good relationship. Unfortunately, nowadays, relationships breaks, and it doesn't turn out so beautiful. And it's, instead of smiling faces in the home, there's angry faces. Like that. Okay, Krishna. Now, In the Upadeshamrita there is that one beautiful verse, well, one our pocketbook for spiritual progression in pure devotional service by Rupa Goswami. But he says, Dadati priti grinati guyamakyati prichati bhunkti budhyayate cheva sadvidhim priti lakshanam. So he gives a description how to establish, when you say, an affectionate, loving, or affectionate, a loving relationship. Offering gifts and charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquire confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad, or the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So that is a very nice. Because in the following verses is, describes the different kind of devotees. You may, equals and juniors and seniors, how to recognize them, and thus reciprocate appropriately. So, but then affection. So we have a Hare Krishna movement, and we are engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead to our best capacity, and they were coming in, and we expect a lot of love and affection, and sometimes we become disappointed, unfortunately, maybe due to our background we are coming with into our conditioned nature, so to say. Still, we can say our love, whether we exactly love each other, but we can respect, and maybe if we can trust, we can be trustworthy to each other. Guyamakyati prichati, if there can be confidence, and that we don't betray each other in various ways. Then we can speak of some kind of love, where there is respect and confidence. We may not be very ecstatic, but just reliable relationships. Of course, we have the thing that if it's just a family, maybe easy. Well, we are also family. In one sense, we have a grandfathers, aunties, and aunts and uncles and all this kind of thing. And of course, maybe it's not all so easy to deal. But we are. That is interesting. We are in a relationship to each other because there's something that ties us together. We can say our commitment to Srila Prabhupada and through him commitment to serve Panchatattva Gonitaya and Radha Krishna, serve Krishna. We're tied together by that. I would say that a commitment. And it may or may not be so, romantic. But then the love is not just that it's okay, because here we have a Krishna that is smiling and is raising his eyebrows and, he's so wonderful, so beautiful, so attractive. And there is a goddess of fortune with all these assistants, the 36,000 sons of the Prajapati and the 36,000 daughters, the daughters help her in the night and the sons in the day. She have them to assistants. So that seems like so wonderful. So now here in this world, it may not be like that, but still, we can say a test of a love, because if there's love, there is action also. So we're doing something together for the sake. We're trying to do, we're at least trying to do something together for the sake of serving the Lord. And we're making a sacrifice, and we can say, if there is love, at least in this world, we also expect that there is some sacrifice. If there's love without sacrifice, what is that? If you're not prepared to sacrifice something for the one who is loved, it's not much love. And that's maybe what's in the modern time. We want the love, we want the juice, the sense gratification, but we are not prepared to make the sacrifice. That the sacrifice that actually would prove the love, the affection, the commitment, the loyalty. So we are. So to be a devotee in the long term, there may be challenges in relationships and things, but because we understand the goal is to serve Krishna. And then in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, then this is the Chatusloka of the Bhagavad Gita. One point, let's see here. I wanted to get a point there. I'm sorry. serving with love. There was something with that. Oh yes, somewhere there they stated, it might be in a different place, but the point was that you render some service to the Lord, you know, and you know, the temple president or the temple commander or the Sankirtan leader may tell you to do something. Then you may say, well, who is he to tell me anything? then you haven't got the point. It's like, the point is that we are serving Krishna together, and we all parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but we have different functions, and you know, some is temple president, some is this and that, and so we need to understand that when a request for service is coming, it's not exactly that person. The person represents the Guru Parampara and Krishna like that. So if you take it, no, this is coming from Krishna. So let me serve with love. And it's maybe not exactly the temple president. Of course, it's nice if the temple president and the temple commander and everyone is loving, affectionate and wonderful like that. But it may not be. But yesterday we read, what was it? Knowledge and the impetus for action. So then our impetus for action is our knowledge that we are doing it for Krishna. If we miss that understanding, then we miss that impetus, and we haven't really got the point. But we as devotees, we serve together because we have the impetus, the inspiration to do so, because we understand that it is for Krishna. Even though and everything may not be perfect on this plane. And so that way, in our heart, in the heart of our heart, we will serve Krishna. The center will be Krishna in our own being, in our mentality, and in our relationships. And then we can speak about love. We make a sacrifice together. And then sometimes, in the earlier, Prabhupada left, and for decades, someone asked, "How was it when Prabhupada was here? Wasn't it wonderful?" And I had a difficulty answering that. Actually, I almost got angry when they asked me, because in my memory coming a lot of sacrifice and austerities, the sacrifice of working together to serving Prabhupada. But now I kind of come over some trauma, and I can say. But the point was that we serve Prabhupada together, and we make sacrifice going traveling in the Sankirtan van in the winter and the summer, and distributing and serving in various ways. So, but that I would say that is an essential part of the love is a sacrifice. And without some sacrifice, what is a love? Some sacrifice. We're getting up, chanting our 16 rounds. Maybe it becomes, it looks like we're getting older, then, you know, we can't do so much externally. And but we maybe just do something that may not seem so spectacular in some way. Or maybe it is very spectacular sometimes. But the point is that externally how much we do may or may not be so significant, but insignificant what attracts Krishna is the inner attitude of the devotee. a devotee in an attitude of love and affection. And that if he loves someone, yes, let me do this nicely for Krishna. You know, then it becomes Krishna in the center. Okay, why does he ask me? Why I have to do this? Well, that's maybe the basic bhakta training, you know. Hey, let's wash your pots. Let's clean the toilets. Let's do for Krishna. Because you don't use them. But when in case we have asked to do it, and if you understand it, actually, on ultimately it's for Krishna, then we get the point, and then we can move on. And if you don't understand that, we may get stuck in that service until the end of our life, until we get the point that we're serving Krishna together. And maybe singular also in one sense, but it's like this inner attitude. Okay, so Lakshmi Devi is going to hear her prayers in glorification or appreciation of the Supreme Lord or of her beloved husband, who is most attractive. And that's stated in the previous world. And his attractive future is mentioned here as a kind of a sensual description of him. And it's a discussion and it's said that something about being material or not material, but he's always, even if you appear in material, what would be called a material form, his action is spiritual. But then we could say also we are part and parcel of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord, and he has senses, spiritual senses. We actually have spiritual senses also, but they are covered by the matter, and thus it acts in a different way. But when fully purified, then our senses will also act in a spiritual way. And we can say when we're fully purified, then we can truly serve the fully pure. If you want to enter the sun globe, you have to get a fire body. So in the same way, when you enter the spiritual world, you have to get a spiritual body. But it's not an impersonal body, but it's all the senses are there, and seeing, touching, and everything is okay. Hare Krishna. So we chant Hare Krishna, purify the mind and consciousness, serve with all our different senses in different ways and different endeavors, and that way purify and qualify ourselves for the ultimate service of Radha and Krishna. We maybe have some question or comment. How it will come.
Can you repeat the question?
He said, Prabhupada said that, how did he say? Without love.
Without
us having love for Krishna.
From us to him.
Yes, from us to him, yes.
If there is no love, we cannot
make any spiritual progress. Okay, so the... Well, we could say progress would be that we attain the love. We have some love. Of course, you may not have love, but you may not have love, but you have some interest, some curiosity, some inquisitiveness. Maybe it's not yet love. I mean, that's the four kind of pious man described in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, who surrender to Krishna, who turn to Krishna. The one in distress, the one in need of money, the one inquisitive, and the one who is in knowledge, is full knowledge or more spiritual knowledge. So someone maybe that's out of distress is turning to Krishna, or God, Allah maybe, you know, whatever, Jesus. Or they're distressed, so they maybe don't have any real love, but they're still turning to God, the Supreme, and that way they're purified. And then they may become qualified to actually develop, manifest that the love of Krishna. And then the one in need of money maybe also he's not okay. I turn to God and pray to Him, and He will help me. So that's not pure love. That's selfish, motivated. And then someone is curiosity. Well, you know, what is this or that? But still, they all turn to God or to the Supreme, and that way there are great souls, good souls. And then later on, as it turns, they may get purified, and as they're purified, there is their love can manifest. They're minder, less selfish. Then we can get unconditional love of Krishna. Okay, some love. But then there is some attraction. There's something that makes us move towards to find out, and then we become attracted in one way or another to Krishna, to his philosophy, maybe just to the prasada, and we say we just appreciate. Because the appreciation as a way of love, showing that something awakens in our heart, that, you know, this is nice. Krishna is nice. He smiles nicely. It's a nice story, you see. He loves his devotees. He protects his devotees. The demons he destroys. Then we ask, what kind of love is that? And someone, okay. Okay, so it will, some initial attraction is there, what brings us close, and then that awakens some love in our heart by which we continue or start to serve or inquire more. And you sit down and read Prabhupada's books and hear, like we're doing here, it is a sacrifice as far as I'm concerned. We are taking time to sit down and hear about Krishna. We're trying to speak about Krishna and trying to hear about Krishna. This is kind of a sacrifice that recommended for this age also. And then we chant Hare Krishna also. One. Okay, this is also kind of a kirtan we're doing when we're just talking and hearing about Krishna. Okay, so that way, attraction, purification, attraction, and then there's love, and then maybe we can actually start to serve Krishna. Yes. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Okay, then it's good. Good time for me to end. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
What? Can I have that?
Yes. Krishna's mercy, give it up.
Not even.